First Up continues here on TSN 1050, streaming worldwide, tsn1050.ca, on the iHeartRadio Canada app. Aaron Kurulnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. A big day for the sports media across Canada. The voting for the Lou Marsh Award goes down this afternoon. We've all heard stories in the past about fist fights among the committee. I believe Dave Naylor versus Steve Simmons. Dave Naylor versus Steve Simmons in 2007 was the highlight.
Answer the question, Steve.
Of course, I'm being facetious, but let's welcome in our good buddy from the Toronto Star, Bruce Arthur. What has been the most contentious subject of conversation amongst Lou Marsh Award voting in the past, Bruce?
Okay, so I've been doing this for, I don't know how long it is now, maybe 10 years?
Sounds like you love doing it.
I really do. It's one of my most fun days of the year. I'm sorry we can't get together in person this year, which is, of course, what everybody in the world says about everything. The one that sticks out to me is one year, and I can't say who did it. There was a very small movement. This was during the Jays when they'd gone to the Final Four. I think it was the first year, so 2015. And someone said we should consider the Toronto Blue Jays. They have a Canadian general manager and a Canadian this and a Canadian that. And my reaction and the reaction of a lot of people around the room was, are you crazy? Are you like, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, so when a Canadian hockey team makes the Stanley Cup final with far more Canadian players than the Toronto Blue Jays had, are they a Lou Marsh candidate? No. We barely give it to Paris figure skaters, man. Sometimes we have given it in the past, not me, but other voters, to a rowing team. But in general, this is not, like, that was one of the craziest ones, and it had clearly been planned. And it was clear, like, the arguments have been planned out, and they were just the most ridiculous arguments. I was not mad, but I was not impressed.
Well, Bruce, I wonder if a similar thing could occur this year with Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who is eligible, by definition, to win the Lou Marsh. He was born in Montreal, and we know the incredible season he had for the Toronto Blue Jays, winning the Hank Aaron Award as the league's best hitter, as Major League Baseball's best hitter. I mean, he had an unbelievable year. But, I mean, he's not... He doesn't represent Canada, right? So how much do you think that will be held against him in the discussions this afternoon?
It's a really interesting question. So one of the things I love about this debate every year is that you come at, this is a very complicated discussion, if you want to make it a complicated discussion, depth of field. How difficult is it to win something versus how much does it matter that they won it? How did they win it? And this year, the field is so deep. Like, the field is really remarkable. It was an awesome year for Canadian sports. Olympics years are always a little bit stronger. With Vlad, I mean, he is eligible. He is a Canadian citizen. Now, whether he represents Canada or not, you might lose some votes over that. I think I could see some people in the room saying, I'm not sure that this is the winner of a Canadian award, but he's a Canadian. He's a Canadian citizen. He plays for a Canadian team. I think he'll be – so what you usually wind up with is you wind up with a top three or four, and they say this is the winner and these were the other candidates in the top three. I think he could get there. But again, take a look at the list. The list is incredible. Andre DeGrasse, Maggie McNeil, Alfonso Davies, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Connor McDavid, Penny Oleksiak, Kylie Mass, Maud Charron, who I, by the way, covered at the Olympics and people don't talk about, winning a women's weightlifting gold medal was insane. That doesn't happen in Canada. Really hard to do. Ashley Lawrence, Stephanie Labbé. Like, you can go up and down and side.
Marie-Philippe
Poulin. It was a great year, right? Yeah, Marie. Like, you can keep adding people.
Layla Fernandez.
List.
Wow.
Damian Warner.
Yeah.
And Warner's probably the favorite. Warner's probably, like, you win the decathlon. That's such a hard thing to win. It is such an amazing accomplishment in the world of athletics. I think it's very possible he wins, but I think the thing is, I never go in with a winner. I never, unless it's a year where it's really obvious and I have an inkling, I always go in with the point of view that I'm willing to have my mind changed. And it's happened where I've been in the room and during the conversation, I go, geez, I don't think the person who's going to win or who a person I'm going to vote for is the person who I thought I was going to vote for. That's one of the reasons I love it.
Let's have some fun right now. Because the votes don't have to be in until probably later on today, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rank your top three. Don't have to be in any particular order. Just rank your top three.
Well, I mean, I've already said Warner's probably is like a strong contender. So I think Warner's there.
Okay.
Andre DeGrasse had a great year, man. Like, that was an amazing Olympics. Like, he's never not won a medal in an Olympic race.
Wow.
I think Andre DeGrasse might be in the top three. I think Maggie McNeil might be in the top three because the women's swim field is insanely deep. That's something that would work for her. But then I go, okay, wait a minute. Who am I bumping out? Like Connor McDavid, the problem with hockey players is you get half of one season and half of another. But he's by far the best hockey player in the world, by far. And that's been the standard for the Lou Marsh, is you have to be above and beyond everyone else playing the sport. Connor McDavid could wind up in the top three. Oh, man, this is hard.
I'll help you. I'll go off the board here. I'll go Layla Fernandez, Marie-Philippe Poulin, and Stephanie LeBay.
But Layla didn't win.
Yeah, but think about how much she dominated the conversation in Canada when she was going through that run. Everybody was talking about her.
It was awesome.
True. I mean, Layla, and that's true. But like, and you can talk about that, but she would lose because she won a women's tour event and not a slam. If she wins a slam, then you're in Bianca Andreescu territory, and there's only, then if she wins, two Canadian women have ever done it. Like, that's, again, with depth of field, world tennis is really deep. And so women's tennis is deep, and what Layla Fernandez did was real, and I think she's going to be a contender going forward. I don't think she gets it this year, partly because, I mean, take a look at the rest of the field. Penny Oleksiak is not going to sniff this, right? She became the all-time leading Canadian medal winner in Olympics. She's not going to be in the top three because she's not the best swimmer in Canada right now. She doesn't have the best year of any swimmer in Canada. It's crazy.
Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star is our guest, and I don't know what the Lithuanian equivalent is of the Lou Marsh Award, but Domantas Sabonis would probably be in the mix for it, a terrific basketball player playing for the Indiana Pacers, who are apparently, you know, at least considering, they're open to trade talks centered on Caris LeVert and either Sabonis or Miles Turner. Bruce, what do you think the Raptors' interest level would be? Let's use Sabonis as the example in acquiring him, because, I mean, clearly he would be a guy that a lot of teams around the NBA would have interest in.
Yeah, he's a real good player. So it sounds like if they want to give you Caris LeVert and one of those two guys, because the Caris LeVert contract, well, that, I mean, that's they know they want to move LeVert, but my guess is they want to get off that contract and the other guys are a part of it. The thing is, Sabonis is, he's their best player. So it's very interesting. My guess is they'd want to move Turner rather than Sabonis. Turner is one of the better rim protectors in the entire league and has some flaws in some other ways. He's not a great rebounder. He's not a great scorer, but he is like, he's an eraser when you get to the rim. I would love to see, like, if the Raptors are going to make a trade for Sabonis, they're going to have to probably go up to Pascal Siakam, because it's not going to work if you try Gary Trent Jr. and Chris Boucher. You're not going to be able to package Gary Trent Jr. and Goran Dragic's contract for Caris LeVert and Domantas Sabonis. That's just not that. Indiana can do better than that. So, the question for me with the Raptors going forward, they have three guys who play two front court positions, if you still believe in front court positions, in Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, and Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes is the centerpiece of this team. He's not going anywhere off the table. OG Anunoby, I don't think, is going anywhere. He's got a better contract than Pascal Siakam, and there are people in the organization who think he's going to have a better career and might be better right now. So Siakam becomes the guy because he's a max contract guy, and he's had some scrapes with the coach, and he's the best shot creator of the three. And so would you move Pascal Siakam for Domantas Sabonis and Caris LeVert? Do the contracts almost line up?
Yes.
Then the question becomes, what else could you get for Pascal Siakam if you're putting him out in a deal, right? If the Washington Wizards decided that Brad Beal, who's having a down season but is an elite scorer, they say, okay, Bradley Beal, we're willing to part ways with you, and Bradley Beal says, let's go. Would you rather have Bradley Beal? Maybe you get him for Pascal Siakam, right? Yeah. So you have to start looking at, it's chess. It's the move beyond the move beyond the move. I love Sabonis as a guy who could rule the defensive glass, start fast breaks, be part of a really interesting offense where the ball moves because he's a great passer, and be a guy who you can really get like primary scoring out of. He's a really good player.
I agree.
But there are better players. That's the thing. And who might become available in a league where stuff moves really fast.
So I guess a debate we were having earlier, maybe you can help us settle this. Like, I said yes to the deal of Sabonis and LeVert. Like, if you attach LeVert to that, I think LeVert's a really good player. And I know he's struggled a little bit this year. But do you think a deal for just Sabonis should include Pascal Siakam?
I mean, take a look at the salaries, and it's hard to see what works, right? Like, Goran Dragic is not a guy who, like, it's an expiring contract for a guy who's a decent third guard. That's not going to do it. Gary Trent Jr. makes $16 million. And so, like, the two guys in the front court, Turner and Sabonis, make about 18. Same with LeVert. Gary Trent Jr. isn't going to do it. Chris No. Boucher, if he showed real potential, maybe that would work. But as much as there are young guys on the Raptors with potential, the real core is the stuff with value. It's those three forwards plus Fred VanVleet. And you're not going to get a ton for Kem Birch, for Precious Achiuwa, for Malachi Flynn, for Yuta, for like Isaac Bonga, for Delano Banton. Like, these guys are throw-ins on this deal, right?
Yeah. Don't forget our boy.
If the Raptors had a younger guy, if Boucher was doing what he did last year and people thought it was more sustainable, then that might work a little better. But at this stage, for me, the Raptors, maybe Gary Trent Jr. can be used in a deal. But the big chip you have to play that works structurally for your organization would be Pascal.
And Pascal has been excellent. I mean, in his last 8-10 games, he's putting up numbers that are reminiscent of when he was second-team All-NBA. I mean, he's looking vintage Siakam, and that's a very good sign for the Toronto Raptors, not only for now, but for the future. And you think about how the Raptors have been unable to put their full lineup on the floor together due to injuries. You think about what OG's been going through with his hip and Siakam missing time early on in the season. Scotty Barnes has been the mainstay throughout all of this, but we really haven't seen the OG Scotty Siakam trio together for an extended period, if at all. I can't recall how many minutes they would have played together. Do you think maybe the Raptors would want to wait and see how those three could kind of function together before contemplating any significant move, Bruce?
I think both yes and no. I mean, yes, it'd be nice to see it so you have a better idea of how these guys mesh, although they've seen it in practice and in training camp and stuff like that. I would say, though, that I think from a structural and strategic point of view, they kind of know who they value and how much. These guys, the Raptors, again, Scotty Barnes isn't going anywhere. There was one other player they would have taken in the draft ahead of Scotty Barnes, and it was Evan Mobley, and that's it. They would not have taken Cade Cunningham. They would not have taken Jalen Green. So Scotty Barnes is not going anywhere. I don't think OG is going anywhere. And so here's the other question. How good are they with those guys? With Siakam, who has been better, but is not an elite shot creator. He just isn't at the highest level in the league. OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, Scotty Barnes, and whatever you build out around them. I mean, they're a playoff team. If those guys play well and the defense starts to click at the level that Nick Nurse can coach defense. But that's not a contender. And that's what Masai Ujiri would want to build it back up to. So one of the reasons they let Kyle Lowry walk is that it opens up opportunities for these guys. And you find out exactly how much these guys can handle. They're probably putting too much on Fred right now. But you can look at these guys and go, Fred is for this organization, Fred's a near superstar player because of the culture he brings plus the way he can play. Like, he sets the tone. It's amazing. So your most important guys are Scotty, Fred, OG, and Siakam. If you're trying to upgrade to another guy, Siakam is your best chip. Now, the one problem with Siakam, he's not that young, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's 27. So you need to have the right situation. So maybe this is the best they think this is the best they could do, and they try Siakam for LeVert and Sabonis, and you throw in a draft pick or whatever you do.
What about that?
Well, yeah, it does.
It does. But you talk about trades and stuff. What about the news that's coming out of Portland with Damian Lillard? Basically, doesn't come out and say that he wants to be traded, but they're going through some front office shuffling right now. And a report comes out yesterday that he wants an extension with whatever GM comes in. He wants a 2-year deal at $107 million. Like, that's crazy to think that type of extension for Damian Lillard. I mean, what do they do with Lillard? I mean, if Lillard is a guy that becomes available, is that the player that the Raptors should try to pursue?
I love Damian Lillard. I love
who doesn't
Damian Lillard. I love that he stayed in Portland and he's tried. But you can see over the last year, like, the smoke is coming out of the smokestack saying, I'm not so happy here, guys. This isn't working, guys, because they're not a contending outfit. It's just not a contending franchise. And at some point, you move on. He's put in the time. I'd love to see Damian Lillard in Toronto. Like a Damian Lillard, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, Scotty Barnes, and whatever center.
Okay, stop. Stop that. I'm drooling right now.
Now, one thing is, I believe Damian is 31. I believe Dame has had some injury problems that are starting to creep up here and there. So you'd have to be sure about that. And this idea that he wants to be the highest paid player in the league, it's totally meaningless. Because every
Holy
year, that'll be a different guy. Every
2 year, like, $107 million?
But to me, what that is him saying, my guess, and this is from outside, my guess is that's him saying, I'm going to want you guys to pay me even more to stay here because I'm not happy with the direction of the franchise. Now, I do think that Portland could hire a replacement for Neil Oshley, and maybe that guy convinces Dame, this is my plan to do it. But then, even then, Portland's got to make some moves, man. C.J. McCollum just has a collapsed lung, so he's probably out till January. But that's a guy you would move on from, who's a really good scorer, really good player, but just not at the highest level. Yusuf Nurkic is a guy maybe you want to move. I would love to see Yusuf Nurkic with the Raptors. I love Yusuf Nurkic. Really good. Really good. Like
I love Yusuf Nurkic.
Right? Like, just like he's like a...
Is he Lithuanian, too?
Awesome. He is... Oh, I want to get this right. Bosnian.
Turkish?
He is Bosnian.
Bosnian. Okay.
The Bosnian. That's what he's called.
Ah, that's right. I love it. Yep. All right.
I actually play basketball with some Bosnian Serbs. I used to before the pandemic. We'll do it again one day. And they compete, man. Love them.
All right. That's Bruce Arthur from the Toronto Star. Thank you for the time, Brucey. Are you going to be in Hamilton for the Grey Cup this weekend at all?
They asked, and I said, the pandemic's going to be bad. And
well, I think it's
about the pandemic.
Come on, Brucey. Come on by. Mm. We'll hang out on the field. We'll wear our masks. It'll be a great time.
I know. I love the Grey Cup. I'm going to miss
it
this year.
It's a good time. Though. All right. We'll miss you, buddy. Thank you for doing this. We appreciate it.
See you, boys.
See you, buddy.
Bruce Arthur. I was wondering if I was looking at my notes. The words variant or pandemic would emerge, or Omicron.
It took or until booster.
Or booster. Pfizer, Moderna, and it took to the very end where the pandemic was finally broached. Yeah. We'll say some news out of Pfizer this morning that the third shot apparently neutralizes the Omicron variant.
Oh, okay, yeah. Now it's the third shot that gets rid of everything.
You know, no conflict of interest with that company and the... Well, we're not conspiracy theorists.
Never.
Get your vaccines. Never. That's how we rock. Absolutely. Yeah. We're all vaccinated here on this program, and we support vaccines 100%. I'm not being facetious, even though it kind of sounds like I am.
We're not at all.
100% truthful. No, not at all. Yes. We're just kidding. Kristen Chilton, our old colleague.
I can't
believe Arad was able to convince her to join us.
Out of her busy ESPN schedule?
Yeah, the reason that she left, apparently, because she's like, I cannot stand talking to Aaron and Carlo anymore. I got to get out of here.
No, it was Arad she couldn't stand talking to.
Yeah, that actually wouldn't surprise me. So Kristen Chilton will join us next. We'll find out about life at ESPN. We'll talk about the Leafs and all the relevant news around the National Hockey League. That's coming up next.